It's good to see all of you here today. Thank you for being here with us. Today I'm going to talk about God's grace. And I'm going to talk about God's grace through the healing of the paralyzed man. I'm sure you are familiar a little bit with this story. One thing, this story does have some... If you guys bring your Bibles with you, you guys look at your Bibles. So if you ever look at this story, your Bible might have like an asterisk or a verse 4 that's in brackets. If you ever see that in your Bible, it just means that there are some Bibles that doesn't have that part in it. Meaning, you know, when we have the Bible here with us, but the way we get our Bible is through all these different manuscripts. And the older manuscripts doesn't have verse 4, but the newer manuscripts does have verse 4. And of course, you know, there's always certain dating, the way they do dating and all that other stuff. But I'm going to read it, assuming that verse 4 is in there and that it is part of the story. But today's passage, again, it's about God's grace in our lives. Have you guys ever experienced His grace? Have you ever experienced His grace being lifted off of your life? And then you're like, oh my gosh, all that time, it was just God's grace. Yeah, no? Not as much, right? I guess the older we get, though, the more we realize, hey, maybe like the reason why I could play this long basketball is because of God's grace is over me not to get hurt. You know, because honestly, I've been in better, you know, in better physical, I don't know, conditions, like when I was 26 or something. And God's grace would just lift off my life and I'd get injured. And even though I'm, I guess, healthy or young or whatever, anything else, I just can't do things because I'm injured. But here, I'm 42 and praise God, thank you Jesus, but you know, I could play basketball and I don't get injured as much as I did, or you know, I'm able to still like trot out there. I don't like sprint anymore, but I like trot pretty fast. And enjoy the sport, which helps me with a lot of things. But anyways, God's grace. What is God's grace? If you turn with me to John chapter 5, it's actually more than just verses 1 through 9, but that's what I'll be focusing on today. And the story starts this way. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews. Now, for us today, we look at that and we might think, oh, whatever, you know, they're just having a party. But actually, for the Jewish readers who's reading John, they'll say, oh, it's one of those five or seven feast days that are very important to us. You guys know those feast days? Some of them. All right, there's only like six of you here today, so I'm going to like just quiz you guys. What are some of the feast days? Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles. My wife likes to wants me to call it Feast of Tabernacles. Any other feasts? Any feast days, you guys? There's big ones that you guys should know. Passover, Feast of Passover. That's a big one. We call it Easter these days, I guess. Any other feast out there? Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets, yes. Feast of Weeks. Also called Pentecost. Do you guys remember Pentecost? That's actually a feast day. So if you notice, in when God moves, when God moves, it's good seeing you, Jim. When God moves in a big way in Scripture, it actually coincides with some of these feast days, right? Passover. Jesus was crucified. During Passover, there's a called a Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the writers of Scripture will say, Jesus was in the tomb during unleavened bread. There's another feast called the Feast of First Fruit. And Paul says, Jesus was our first fruit. There's another after 50 days from Passover, there's another feast day called Feast of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit drops on that day. Now, we see this and we see Feast of the Jews, but when Jewish people back, especially back then, when they saw this, it wasn't a festival, it was more of an appointed time. So God told Moses, there are these appointed times I want you to commemorate, I want you to remember, and probably I want you to be watchful. Because these are days where God will meet humanity, and He has met humanity in some of the biggest ways. If you're talking about Passover, when Jesus died, if you're talking about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fills the church, these are some of the biggest events in world history that the feast days coincide. So when John here says it's a feast day, Jewish antennas, they go up. Christianity today, unfortunately, we do not celebrate these feast days. It's not in our tradition. But I do think that it's important to not be ignorant about these things. Now, I don't think anyone can time when God's going to move. Even the apostles, they didn't know that this Passover was going to be the last Passover, even though Jesus was telling them for about 3 years, this Passover is going to be important, or it's going to be important, they're going to crucify me. I didn't even think 50 days on that Pentecost, the church was ready for what was going to happen. And so I don't think we today as Christians, we could time what's going to happen. But I do think it is also important that we as Christians, when these things are going to come up, that we are more watchful. And as I say this, there are going to be some feast days coming up in, I believe, October. Feast of Tabernacles happens in October. Feast of Trumpets happens in October. Feast of Yom Kippur happens in October. These are all coming up. I'm not saying anything big is going to happen on those days, but I do think if God does do world-changing events, they might happen during the feast days, just like it has happened throughout history. Anyways, here it is. It's a feast day. It's in Jerusalem. And there's all these sick people just laying there. They're laying there in a place called Bethesda, which has five porticos. And the tradition is, now I don't know if this is true or not, but the tradition is, every once in a while, in this pool, an angel comes down, stirs the water, and the first person in there is healed miraculously. If you're looking at the scene John is painting for us, there's a lot of signs here, right? It's a feast day. It's in Jerusalem. It's in a place called Bethesda. Bethesda in Hebrew or Aramaic is probably house of mercy. Bet meaning house. So Bethlehem, house of bread. Bet meaning house. Hesedah meaning mercy. There are five porticos. What does five mean? Grace. I don't know why it means grace, but you turn to certain Christians and they'll tell you, what does five mean?
Five letters of grace.
Oh, yeah, see, that's why. I don't know. Well, I don't know why five is grace. Seven is usually perfection. Three is God. This is just Jewish people, they had certain things in mind when they thought of numbers. Sorry, something just jogged my memory, but you guys ever get like certain colors with numbers? It's actually a thing. Anyways, in today's story, we see a lot of like signs indicating God's grace. But will anyone be healed? Well, actually, one person is going to get healed. Anyways, it goes on and says, in these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain season into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever is then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. Here we see that there's a place where multitudes and multitudes, when the Bible says multitude, is probably in the thousands of people who needed a miracle, were waiting and hoping to receive their healing, their miracle. And unfortunately, it seems like only one person out of thousands and thousands of people will receive it, and it has to be the first person in that pool to get it. Imagine that for a moment. Just close your eyes, don't go to sleep. Close your eyes and imagine a small pool, and then around it are five porticos, or five just and then thousands of people there. You've ever been to a place where thousands of people? And just imagine maybe a football game or a concert or the mall in Christmas, during Christmas. I don't know if it gets busy in Christmas anymore. It used to. But just multitudes of people. And it's a small pool. It's not a huge pool. And all around you is just sick people. Some are lame, some are just withered, some are coughing, some are on breathing tubes, and I don't know, there's all these people around you just needing a miracle, and you're there trying to see, just trying to see the water. I don't know if you're near the water. In your head, are you near the water? Are you behind someone that has a big head and you can't even see the water? I don't know, just imagine that. But here's a situation, though. I want you to realize, here's a situation where enough people have said, I've been there and I've been healed. Their lives have been changed. They can verify this is true. And yet multitudes of people are just sitting there waiting for theirs. They've all come because they've heard the stories. It's happened to me. I couldn't walk. I went in there, and now I'm walking. I used to have cancer. I went in there. I have no more cancer. I used to cough all the time. I went in there. I don't cough anymore. I used to have gluten allergies. I went in there. I could eat bread, and nothing happens to me anymore. You know, all these things. You ever hear stories like that? It happens on television all the time, right? Like, do P90X, before, after, boom, I used to be like this, now I look like this. If you do it, you could look like me, kind of thing. If you ever watch TV late at night, I don't know, does anyone ever watch TV anymore? Are you guys all on like the computer? There used to be a thing called TV. And when you watch TV, like, you didn't have a choice what you watched. They told you what you watch. And if you're on TV late at night, like I used to do because I'm sometimes an insomniac, they used to have these infomercials, all of these infomercials, how to get rich, how to get ripped, how to get whatever you want, you know, kind of thing. And I used to eat that all up, and I'm like, oh, I need to get P90X because I'm not happy with the way I look. I wish I could look like that now, but back then I was like, I'm not happy the way I look. You know, there's like, oh, look at me, I'm on this big yacht, and I'm on this yacht because I learned how to flip houses and kind of stuff like that. Or there's this Japanese guy named Robert something who says, rich dad, poor dad, and, you know, I used to be poor, but I learned how to do all these things and make income, you know, passive income and all these things. And you could be rich too, just get my book. And I used to eat all that up, and I bought his book. And I bought P90X. And I bought all these things. And none of them ever worked out. And it's probably because I never followed through. or even when I did follow through, I never saw like the results I was looking for. And you know, multitudes of people buy those things. And I'm sure I'm not the only one it didn't work for. Here's a situation, there's a pool, there's enough people saying, look at what I used to be and now where I am. You need to go to that oasis and you need to get your healing. And multitudes of people just gather there for that. And they were saying, I'm going to get my healing today. And none of them ever received their healing. Maybe one of them did. One of them received their healing. It worked for one person. But that one person, man, I bet you was telling everyone, hey, you need to go to that pool. We see this all the time in society. We sometimes even see it in the church, right? Yeah? We see it in the church. And they'll say, this is why you're not living this kind of life. This is why your finance is suffering. This is why something, you know, your marriage isn't working. This is why, this is why, this is why. And I'm not saying that there aren't people who have the wisdom to write those kinds of books. There aren't people that doesn't have the anointing to give that kind of teaching. But maybe some of those people who are writing those books and some of those people who are giving those teachings, they don't recognize that it was just God's grace in their lives that gave them the ability to make money, gave them the ability to have their prayers answered, to give them the ability to have a mega church, to give them the ability to fill in the blank. Sometimes it's just God's grace, right? Here we see a story of sometimes God's grace in this paralyzed man's life. Again, I just want to be clear. There are certain keys to victory. There are certain things that we should value. There are certain things that we should do as believers, sincere believers. There are certain things that we should stay away from. But I think as flawed human beings, when God's grace touches our lives, we sometimes like to take credit for it and then write a book. Like we're like we know how to do this now. I know how to do this now. But sometimes it's just a miracle is simply God's love for you, for me, that in our weakness and inability, He extends His merciful hands and gifts us with grace. We didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, and we certainly don't have principles on how to get it. It is simply God saying, I love you so much, let me give you this gift. We see this in this man's life, I believe. Now, I don't know whatever happened to the paralyzed man. The fact that they just simply call him the man, the paralyzed man, may lead me to believe that maybe he didn't become a believer. Maybe he never walked with Jesus after that. Certainly he stood up for Jesus later on in the chapter, but I don't know if he ever became a believer. Maybe he did become a believer and he's just like, you know, share my story, don't tell them my name, because then everyone's going to come after me and ask me about my story. But just maybe that happened. Or maybe he went out and he wrote a book and said, here's how you get your healing. Here's how you go from being paralyzed to living the life you've always wanted to live. Get ripped, get rich. I know how to do it. Like, if I could do it, anyone could do it. You can do it too. Buy my book. Sorry. Am I being too cynical? Sorry. You know, sometimes I get cynical and stuff. But there was a man who was there who had been ill for 38 years. That's a long time. That's even longer than Jesus has been around. He's been sick and ill for 38 years. Later on, we learn that it might have been because of his sin that he was sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and he knew that he already had been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, Do you want to get well? Now, a lot of people, like, what we pastors like to do when we don't know the answers to things, we like to make things up, right? I've been doing that this whole time. But, you know, a lot of people, they like to think, hey, maybe Jesus asked that question because he didn't want to get well. And there's enough stories to go around where people don't want to get well from their sickness for us pastors to say, maybe Jesus asked because he didn't want to get well. I don't think that was the case for this man, though. I don't know if there's anything that implies it was the case. Personally, I don't think that was the case. I think this man, he got there, maybe he got there for 38 years. I don't know if he was there for 38 years or if he was just sick for 38 years and he finally got there, but just imagine for a second. 38 years and is finally there. There's multitudes of people there. He thought maybe this will be not peak hour, peak days or something, you know? And he went there and then he realized that there are thousands of people here. Only one person can get healed. You know, and he's paralyzed. So it's not like he could like sprint, like book it, and like push people out of the way when it starts stirring. Like, he can't do that. And I'm sure there were people that booked it whenever it started stirring. I don't know if it was like a line, you know? You wait there 10 years, sort of like getting your driver's license. You know, you're like there for like all, like hours and hours and hours and just wait. But it's just, someone gets healed, one person gets healed, that person probably goes away, and you get a little bit closer. You get a little bit closer. You get a little bit closer. Maybe for 30 years that's been happening. Maybe he's finally pretty close to the waters where he could actually see the water finally. But because he's paralyzed, he's stuck there. Because whenever it starts stirring, someone else would go in. And he sees that now. He's able to see that it starts stirring and then someone else goes in. Imagine being the person behind that person, you know? It's like, you've ever been in, like, in a line and you're kind of in a hurry? And then so you're like trying to check out which line will go the fastest, sort of like a grocery line. And then you're like, oh, okay, there's only one person. I'm going to stand here. And then that person is the person like that has coupons, that has questions, that's just never going to like, and everyone else is like going and leaving. And you're like, how did I get stuck behind this person, you know? And like this person that's paralyzed, he could probably feel that behind him. It's like, how did I get stuck behind this person? Like, he was supposed to go in already. Yeah, you guys have, that happened to my friend at a Dodgers game, you know, or I think a Giants game. He went to go get, like, fries. You guys want to hear the rest of that story? Yeah. Okay, he went to get fries and, you know, they have those garlic fries. I think at Giants game, he went to go get garlic fries, and he went like in like the second inning. He comes back at the seventh inning. He's like, "What the heck? Like, where have you been?" He's like, "Yeah, the guy that, you know, I went up to the shortest line, but the guy that was helping me, he was kind of, you know, I think they hired him because he was just a little disabled. And what happened was, you know, these other people, they don't care if you're disabled or not. If the fries are there, they're going to grab the fries. So he, like, it took him a long time to finally get, like, the fries because every other worker is just, like, boom, getting the fries. And he's, like, here, like, he's just patiently waiting. And he comes back at the seventh inning. He missed, like, almost all the game because it was the garlic fries. The garlic fries were amazing, though. Anyways. But it's just one of those things. Like, it's not his fault. He's paralyzed. Everybody else wants it. And they want it bad because they've been waiting for there for years and years and years and years and years and years and years as well. So they're not going to wait for this guy to be like, all right, it's your turn. Why don't you get up and go in? All right, I'm going to help you. I think the paralyzed man, when Jesus asked him, he was probably a little offended, but then he was beginning to think like I don't know, do Jewish people do this, Anna? Like, when they want, like, a favor, they just don't say, hey, I want a favor. They just start telling you their story first. So he's like, here is my story. Like, when Jesus saw him laying there, do you want to get well? The sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Like, he's ready to just ask Jesus. You know, you know, it's like one of those things. Oh, I've been working all day. My feet hurt. You know, and had a bad day at work. Kind of like, can you do the dishes today, honey? Kind of thing. I think he was going to say, Jesus, or he didn't even know it was Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He was going to say, sir. He was probably going to say, you know, I've been here for a long time. I can't walk. Everyone goes in before me. It's actually my turn. Can you help me into the pool? He was probably going to say something like that. Finally say, hey, can you help me with this? And, you know, before he could finish, like, what he was going to say, Jesus says, boom, get up. Take up your mat and walk. Here we see a man, 38 years, waiting for his miracle. It's a broken system. I don't think it's his fault. The system's just broken. He's heard people say it's possible. But for him, you know, his weakness doesn't allow that possibility to happen. And he's just waiting and hoping and saying, today's my day. Today's my day. I'm going to muster up all my strength next time that water stirs, and I'm going to get in there. And I'm sure one time he got pretty close. Maybe one time he was the third one there, like dragging himself, like with his arms. Just trying to fight the system. Why did this man get healed? He didn't deserve it. Jesus later goes on and says, sin no more or something worse may happen to you. Implying that his condition was probably because of a sin in his life. He didn't work hard enough. He didn't deserve any of it. In fact, there are multitudes of people that are probably more righteous than him. There might have been people there waiting longer than him. Multitudes of people are there. There are people that are sicker than him. That are in more pain than him. That are in worse conditions than him. And Jesus chooses him. Why does he choose this man? I have no idea. All I know is Jesus will later say, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I went to him because my Father is also working as well. It was the Father that led Jesus, Father God, that led the Son, Jesus Christ, to this person, to heal this person on that day. That's how grace works. God, in his love, I believe for each and every one of us, will touch us in such an amazing way that it's not in our strength, but it's in our weakness that he blesses us and he gives us what we're not able to get for ourselves. Because God is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a God that loves to give gifts. He loves to give grace. And I think as flawed human beings, we have to realize that. It's important to realize that. Hey Aki, what's your secret of looking so great being 42? How do you play basketball so well at 42? Well, you know, you gotta get enough sleep. You gotta eat right. You gotta do all this. I don't eat right. I don't sleep right. God's grace, I try to eat right. You know, listen, I try to control the things I can control. But you and I know, especially the older you get, it doesn't matter how much, like, you do. It's just, if your body stops working, it'll stop working, you know? It'll stop working. And sometimes God blesses us. He gives us grace. For you and I believe there are going to be times when He will give us grace. However, there are things that we can control. The man says to the paralyzed man, so the paralyzed man doesn't even know it's Jesus talking. Okay? At this point, the paralyzed man doesn't even know it's Jesus yet. And all he hears is a man, a stranger, coming up to him and saying, "Take up your mat and walk." At that moment, what I think is happening is this paralyzed man is saying, is confused for a little bit. It's like, what the heck is he talking about? I'm paralyzed. But at the same time, there's this other thing happening where his body is like, I can move. And I don't know if it was for a split second, I don't know if this happened, but I could imagine this happening. At that moment, he had a choice. He could have either said, "Didn't you just hear what I said?" and gave him the whole story again. Or he could have realized there is grace to move. And I think he realized there is grace to move. He got up, he took up his mat, and he started walking. What I'm saying is, God wants to give each and every one of us gifts of grace. Amen? He is a good God. He is a great God. And there's going to be times when He comes to your life, and He's going to give you something. I remember one time, this was perhaps in my late 20s or early 30s. I was still back in LA. Had bad knees. Had chronic bad knees since I was 26. And it'd get better, I'd play, I'd get injured. Get better, I'd play, I'd get injured. It was one of those times when I was just injured. And, you know, I don't know, it was just probably like an MCL or something. But I was sleeping, and then when I woke up, I just felt God saying, "You could jump now." And I just believed Him, and I started jumping, and I was able to jump. Now, I could have had I think at that moment, I had a choice. God didn't, like, force me to jump. He was saying, I just felt in my spirit, "You could jump now." And I said, "Okay, I'm going to try." And I did, and I was able to jump. Now, I don't know if I didn't do it, if God would have taken that grace away from me. But I know in Hebrews, it does say, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. There are going to be times when you hear His voice, and when you do hear His voice, don't harden your heart. When you do hear His voice, take up your mat and walk. Don't harden your heart. I believe that is a window of grace that is open for you and I to take that step into receiving the gifts of God that He wants to give to each and every one of us. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because He loves you so much that He wants to give these things to you. Let us pray. Father, I thank You so much that You love us so much that You do want to give us gifts of mercy, gifts of grace. Even supernatural gifts. Especially gifts in our weakness gifts, Lord, where we don't deserve. You constantly pour out your grace and mercy over our lives. Even now, Lord, I know there are things that you've given to us out of the goodness out of your heart that we don't deserve, that we might be taking credit for. If there are things like that in our lives, I pray, Father, you give us revelation that we'd repent from our arrogance and pride and just give you the glory and credit that is deserved, that you deserve, Lord, for the gifts that you have given us. I pray, Father, that if those of us here today hear your voice today or throughout the week, that we would not harden our hearts, Lord, but receive whatever you have for us, God, and give you the glory and praise. I thank you so much that you are such a loving, merciful, awesome God. You love each and every one of us so much that you want to shower your gifts and grace and mercy upon us. And I pray, Father, that we would just be sensitive enough to receive those gifts you have for us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.